morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. If you would, please stand and bow your heads and your hearts as we open up this time of praise and worship with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the honor that it is to worship you today, to draw near to you. Oh, Heavenly Christ, we commit this service into your care, and we ask that you would just move in it, and you would send your Spirit to just touch our hearts and impact our minds, and may you change us more to be like you. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for this privilege, this wondrous opportunity that we experienced this morning. We bless you now, and we pray all this in the mighty and the wondrous name of the risen Savior, Jesus, our Lord and coming King, we do pray.
It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. It says so good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen.
Amen.
As we get ready to praise, you're already standing, get ready to praise our Lord. Let's turn to our neighbor and say, God answers prayers. Good. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for allowing us to have that opportunity to live with you forever. We thank you for being here in our lives, Lord. Father, let us not forget that when we're going through a trial that we need to turn to you in prayer, fall down on our knees, and just ask for your help. Lord, let us remember that because there really is something about just having a little talk with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Now let us have a little time. Let's try that one more time. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and your full fire's burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. He bathed my heart in love and he wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turning and you know the fire's burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. once had doubts and fears, my eyes were filled with tears. Jesus, a friend who watched me day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and you know the fire's burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer returning and know a little fire's burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Let's do it one more time for the Lord. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the prayer will turn and you know the fire's burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, yes. He loves it when we make a mistake, and he loves when we look past that and give it to him, right? Amen. All we have to do is pray about it. All right. As we bow our heads one more time, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We do thank you for your grace. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, even when we do make that mistake, we can turn it over to you, knowing that you are going to take care of it, and you're going to wash it all away. Allow us to remember the power of that wonderful prayer that you've given us, Lord. And please allow us to surrender all to you. And we ask in your wonderful name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. Surrender.
do ask that you allow us to surrender everything to you, our entire lives, our future, our hope, Lord, knowing that we can trust in you, that you do have our backs and you do have our future. You hold our right hand and you walk in front of us, Lord. Father, let us put on the entire armor of God and let us stay focused and allow us to fall on our knees when we need you and just pray, pray, pray. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you be here at this church, Lord. You stomp out sickness. You allow us to have good health, Lord. Allow the church to prosper, the pastor and everyone that are here. And those that could not be here, Lord, bring them in, Father, because the lost really need you, and we want to be there to help them find you. Lord, we thank you for all that, and we ask a wonderful blessing in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Before we continue this time of worship here, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, and as we're turning to the back of our bulletin, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. You'll notice with me all the way at the bottom of the bulletin, there's a clothing drive fundraiser, which is going on now through February 27th, and that is going toward the Vacation Bible School, and there are two bins out in the parking lot, you'll see, and so if you have items, clothing, or any cloth items, whether that's sheets or bedding or anything like that, and you're looking to donate that, please just bring it here, put it in the bins, and then Easter Seals will pick that up, and then at the end of the month, they will write a check to Trinity United Methodist Church, the Vacation Bible School Ministry. And so this is a wonderful way for us to do what we normally do anyway, and that's to get rid of those items in our closets that we would normally give away, but give it to a good cause so that we here at Trinity can keep on reaching out to the youth of the community of Gibsonburg. I'm going to ask Bonnie to come forward, and she has an announcement for us here about the coming meeting. And so, Bonnie, if you would please come and share with us here this morning.
Good morning. I'm Bonnie Kester, as Pastor Max just said, and I would like to give everyone an opportunity to become a part of the welcome committee here at Trinity United Methodist. We're going to be having a meeting after the service on the 26th of February. It'll be a short meeting, and anyone who is interested in serving in that capacity and feels that God has laid that upon their heart, please join us. If you are a visitor, a traveler, a stranger, or a guest of someone here, we offer you welcome to our church. If you are wondering about Christians and the Christian community, we welcome you. If you are a Christian looking for other Christians, you are welcome here at Trinity United Methodist. And we here are growing in faith and service to God, and we are happy to welcome you for a day, a month, or forever. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. So mark your calendars if you would like to be part of the wonderful welcome ministry here at Trinity, February the 26th, the last Sunday in this month, immediately following worship. We will be meeting, and Bonnie will be leading that meeting. If you are visitors here today with us, and I know there's several, you can find these connection cards. They're in the pews, and I know this is normally Greg's spiel. We kind of got Greg doing other duties this morning. If you want to come forward and share what the connection cards are, not to put you on the spot, brother, but I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, so as he explained, you guys all have a connection card. We give these out for everyone, actually. We want Trinity to be a place of serving as well as learning about God. And on these connection cards, it gives you multiple places that you can mark where you want to serve or where you're interested in serving anyway. Also, if you're interested in baptism, church membership, growth groups, beginning a new relationship if you're just first starting, These cards will give us your information so we can get the necessary stuff to you. Like I said, we want everyone to feel welcome. We want everyone to serve and to be a part of our team. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. Greg. And to that end, you know, sometimes we get confused as to where to start, how to serving. And so Charlene and myself, we will be co-teaching a class titled Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. We had orientation this past Wednesday. We will be taking this Wednesday off, and then the following Wednesday, which I believe is March the 1st. Is that correct? No, February the 22nd. It's right at the top of your bulletin. And I'll tell you, I need a calendar right in front of me. But February the 22nd, 7 p.m., if you are interested in learning about your spiritual gifts, please join Charlene and myself, and we will be, you know, leading that class, discovering your spiritual gifts, and hopefully, Lord willing, that will give you an idea as to how you can get started in serving and reaching others, you know, with the love of God. I'm going to ask Brenda to come forward. She has an announcement here for us this morning.
I don't know if any of you happened to notice, but as you walked from the
Fellowship Hall.
Thank you, the Fellowship Hall into the church. At the double doors on the right-hand side, there's a white box there now, and it says above that AED. Well, AED is an automatic electric defibrillator, and what it does is for anyone that may have a heart attack here at the church, that is now available that we can use before the EMS gets here. It's all set up, it's all ready to go, and just a quick in-service here. It's not hard to use. You grab the little red bag, you bring it in here, you unzip it, and it'll tell you exactly what to do. It's all set to go for any adult or any child or person that's over 55 pounds. Anything less than that, there is other pads that are sitting next to the defibrillator that you can grab. You just pull one out and you plug the other one in, okay? And it will tell you exactly what to do. It shows you where to put the pads, and then it says, now push this button, don't push that button, just stand there and watch, don't do anything or do something, and it'll tell you what to do and how to do it. So if you ever need it, that's where it's at. Don't be fearful, just pick it up and use it. I want to personally thank the Memorial Fund, because that's how that we were able to purchase that. And it's a very important piece of equipment in an area where we have multiple people coming and going all the time. So I do thank anyone that has contributed in the past to the Memorial Fund. The other thing to let you know is I'm going to try to get a CPR class together, first aid CPR class, so that if anybody wants to learn a little bit more about the AED, how to use it, how to do CPR, we're going to try to do that later this year. All right?
Okay, cool. Thank you, Brenda. So just kind of keep your eyes and ears open that more information will be forthcoming about training for the AED, and also to be aware that it is out there, and hopefully, Lord willing, we won't ever need to use that. That's my hope and my prayer. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's Word. If you're utilizing a Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1824. We will be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 10 through 24. A reading from the letter to the church at Ephesus, or the book of Ephesians, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this worship, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
When I close my eyes, I can see your glory. When I raise my hands, I can touch your face. When I bow my knees, stand before you and Christ is formed in me. Wake my soul, prepare an entrance for your glory. Let my
part of your blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I wonder if any of you here have had an experience in life where you had more month than money, or you had more items or activities than what you had scheduled on the calendar. As of recently, the latter has been true for me. It seems, though, that the busyness of my life has just grown exponentially, partly because the Methodist denomination, they want me to take these classes, and so I started a class on the 6th of February, so we're a full week in, and I am already feeling quite overwhelmed. But I wonder if you've ever had an experience that lends you, during those times where you offer up these prayers and you just simply fall in this rut where you look to God to give you and give you and give you and give you. I know that I have. There have been times in my life where I've had more month than money, and I've petitioned God for those times, for strength, for guidance, for wisdom to see me through. And it seems like the busyness of our lives, it seems like it cultivates that environment in our lives to such a degree that we are always pulling the spiritual fire alarm. And that's prayer sometimes. We seem to go to God only when we have no other way to turn, no other options or no other areas to deal with those situations in our lives. And friends, this morning we are finishing up the book of Ephesians. Now this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote when he was imprisoned in Rome. And so you have to realize that he either had ankle chains or handcuffs on, and friends, he was chained to a Roman soldier. And all through the first half of this letter, he raises up believers in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read you a list of where he takes us. And it's very interesting where he ends us and where he leaves us at the very end. Listen to this. He tells us in verse 1 or verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, "You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." He tells us that we are chosen, we are predestined, and we are adopted as God's children. He shares with us that we are lavished with God's grace, that we are redeemed and forgiven. We have been given the mystery of God's will. We are receivers of an inheritance. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are greatly loved by God. We are made alive with new life. We are the workmanship of Christ, created for Him for doing good works. I haven't even begun to start. We are given the peace of God. We are made one with Jesus and with every other believer as His body. We are made citizens of God's own temple and the dwelling place of His Holy Spirit. We are given boldness and confident access to God. We are made powerful beyond our imagination. We are given the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are individually and uniquely gifted by Christ. We are blessed with specially gifted leaders to equip us in the work of ministry. We are taught by Jesus Christ Himself. We are given a new self in God's holy likeness. We are made to be light of the world. We are offered the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We are given the instructions and resources to make all relationships with others what God intends them to be. And lastly, we are given the full armor of God to make us invincible against the enemies, schemes, and his forces. All through this letter, he is raising believers up into the heavenly places. And then at the very end, which is where we are going to end, he causes us and calls us to bow to our knees. There's a reason for this, friends. It's because our default mechanism in our lives is to take things in our own control, our own power, and our own strength, and our own ability to try to figure out ways to work through situations or circumstances that we encounter in life. We got more month than money, we work harder. We go get a second job. We work overtime. We have too many activities and not enough schedule. What we do is we just try to shift things around and work things around so that we can do everything that we feel we're called to do. Friends, that's not the answer. The answer is prayer. prayer. I'll say that again. The answer is prayer. You see, it's true that you and I, as believers and followers of Christ, have been given all those things, those 24 items that the Apostle Paul, as he's chained to a Roman soldier, and as he pens these words some 2,000 years ago, it's true that we have been given all of these items and all of these things. That is true. That is a fact. In Christ, you have been given all of that. But how do we make it active? How do we put it into place and into practice? The answer is prayer. And the reason why the Apostle Paul ends with the armor of God is that you have been given this armor. You've been given the belt of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have been given the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus took our sinfulness and he gave us his righteousness. You have been given the shoes of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You have been given the helmet of salvation. You've been given the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But how do you activate it? You do so by prayer. By prayer, by prayer, by prayer, by prayer. You see, the reality of it is sometimes we think that prayer is the addendum or the addition to our spiritual journey. And friends, I'm here to tell you that prayer is the essence of the journey. Prayer is not where spiritual warfare happens to be won or lost. It's when we pray that is the essence of spiritual warfare. The story is told about three monks who lived on this deserted island. And these missionaries, these Christian missionaries, they heard about these monks living out on this deserted island, and it was uninhabited except for the three monks. So the missionaries felt compelled to go and to share with these monks. And so they traveled by boat, and then they traveled over land, and several days it took them, and they finally got to these three monks, and they spent weeks with them, teaching them how to pray. And after they taught them every last bit of knowledge that they had on prayer, they left, and then they traveled over the land, and they got on their boat, and they're traveling over the sea. And little did they know, but they looked out and they saw these three fireballs coming across the water towards the boat. With great fear and trepidation, they didn't know what to do. And so little did they know, they kind of stopped their boat. And then little did they know, as the fireballs got closer to the boat, it was the three monks. And so they helped them onto the boat. And then the missionaries asked them, hey, what can we do for you? And they said, hey, we forgot what you taught us. Teach us again what you shared with us over the weeks. The missionaries looked at the monks and said, forget everything we taught you. You see? It's funny, but sometimes I think Christians, that's what I want to tell them. Forget everything you have been taught. Because we get in this rut. We get in this rut of looking to God for needs, looking to God to answer things, looking to God. And friends, if prayer is the arena where spiritual warfare takes place, then my question is this. If we are lacking in prayer, then we aren't even in the game. And you know what a critic is? It's somebody that isn't even in the game. And then we get critical. And so I want to share with you, I don't know where you're at. There were times in my life that, yeah, I just petitioned God, Lord, help me with this, help me with that, help me with this, help me with that. But can't we move beyond that? Can't we move beyond going to God with a laundry list? Because it's only then, friends, it's only then that the spiritual armor of God is activated when we pray. When we pray for the people who don't know Jesus. When we lift them up of the people who are suffering around the world. When we pray for our brothers and sisters. It's only then that our faith is activated. It's only then that the truth is seared in our soul. It's only then that we become carriers of the peace of God that comes in Jesus Christ. And if we continually seek God with laundry lists of needs and wants and desires, we will never be in the game of the spiritual warfare. And friends, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. The devil knows that. So what he tries to do is he tries to get you and me inactive in the arena of spiritual warfare. And so I want to share. I don't know where you're at. If you're praying for a list of needs and wants and desires, that's okay. Start there. But don't be complacent with it. Don't be satisfied with it. Move beyond. And this morning I want to give you four alls of prayer. And we'll find this in Ephesians chapter 8 or chapter 6, verse 18. The Apostle Paul, he pens this, and this is in the summation of the armor of God. And so he lists all these pieces of armor, and you kind of imagine him looking at the Roman soldier. Now, he wouldn't have been girded and put all this armor on. He wasn't going out to battle. But Paul knew. He knew what the items were that he wore. And there are four alls in prayer in verse 18 of chapter 6. The Apostle Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I just want to real quickly, over the next 5 minutes, go through these four alls of prayer. And I want to challenge us to change and maybe to forget what we knew or what we thought we knew. Because friends, if we're not even in the game, if we're not even in the arena of where spiritual warfare takes place, how can we expect the lost to come to Christ? How can we expect the light of Jesus to be moving into the darkness of this world? How can we expect to be agents of grace in this life? We can't. And although all those things that Paul says is true about you, the enemy has rendered you ineffective and inactive. So let's go on. The first all of prayer. It says, pray at all times, with all prayer. Pray at all times. And maybe the other slide was the first one because it was, can we go back, Hannah? I'm sorry. Yes, the boldness. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Now let me just give you a definition here. Prayer in that tense is general concerns. Supplication are specific concerns. Now, one of the things that I want to challenge all of us is to be specific in prayer. If we are going to be in the battle, if we are going to be in the spiritual warfare, in the arena of where warfare takes place, we need to be specific. We need to not just offer up these general prayers of, hey, protect my loved ones and see this person and that person. We need to be specific with God. That's what supplication means. You go to God and you are specific in your prayer. Take your heart to God and say, Lord, I'm in angst over this situation. Please, God, be with them, strengthen them, grant them the peace, the grace. Be specific, whatever it is. There's no need too great, no need too small. Be specific. So don't just offer up your general prayer requests. Don't just offer up those general things that you feel that you need to take to God. Go to Him with specifics. Lord, I want the village of Gibsonburg to have revival started. And yes, I've been praying that for the last several years. I have been. And I'll continue to pray it till the day I'm out of here. I want God to reign supreme in this village. I want the other churches in Gibsonburg to flourish. I want the light of Christ to be so contagious and infectious that it naturally attracts those who don't have Jesus in their life to come and find out what it is that is happening here. Be specific. I want those who are in bondage to be freed. I want those who are struggling to be strengthened. I want those who are tired to be awakened. I want those who are hungry to be fed, and not just earthly food, but spiritual food. Be specific. I want my loved ones to be protected from whatever. Be specific. Until we are specific, we are just offering up generalities to God. And then we question and we wonder why God isn't answering these requests. Maybe it's because He doesn't really know what you want. Now, I'm not saying that God is just this great, you know, big person in the sky that answers every request. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we need to be specific in our prayer requests. Some time ago, I think Greg did this, and he asked other people, you know, in the congregation, who in here has a family member that doesn't believe in Jesus? Raise your hand. Be specific. I want my loved one to come to faith. Be specific. That's the first all of prayer. It's the variety of prayer. We could go on and we could say, you know, the variety of prayer. There are many different types of prayer. There's a prayer of the forsaken. There's a prayer of abandonment. There's ordinary prayer. There's all these different times. There's authoritative prayer. There's supplications. And friends, you don't need to get confined in one manner of prayer. There have been times in my life, in my journey, where God has stopped me dead in my tracks, and he said, pray, 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 pray. And you pray. And when that happens, you know you're entering into the arena. You're fully armored. You're invincible to the enemy. So there's nothing he can do to hurt you. The only thing that he can do is to cause you to not to step forward. To not step forward. Years ago, I was on a football team, and I will never forget Coach Rayburn. He in one practice, he pulled all of us individually out of the huddle, and he caused us to step back and look at the huddle, and he asked us this question: who in this league can stop you? Our answer, every single one of us, was universal, and we all said no one. We went undefeated that year. The devil can't stop you. He can prevent you from entering in the game. The only thing that would have stopped us that year was if we never stepped foot on the field. Some of us as Christians, we don't even step foot on the field. The second all is to pray at all times. It's the when and the where of prayer. At all times in the Spirit. Now, I'm just going to say this. In the Spirit does not mean to bust out in some sort of ecstatic, you know, unintelligible language, such as the language of tongues. It means to unite your heart with God's heart. And when you are in the arena of spiritual warfare, you are praying for those things that God wants to see happen in this world. You are aligning your heart with his heart. His heart is always for the lost. His heart is always for the poor, the marginalized, the weak, the outcast of society. Friends, if you know a different Jesus than that, you better go back and read your Bible again, because the Jesus of the Scriptures is about the poor, the marginalized, the weak, the outcast of society. And when we pray at all times in the Spirit, we are aligning our heart with his heart. We are praying for the same things that he wants to see happen. And that's the joy, that's the unification, the uniting of our very being with the risen Christ. That's when we enter the arena. And it doesn't matter. David, he exclaimed, he said, in the morning I will praise you. In the evening time I will come to you, O Lord. In the noontime I will seek your face, is what he said. And friends, it doesn't matter, morning, noon, or night. Pray. Enter the arena. Pray. 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 It doesn't matter where and when. Years ago, when I was traveling to and from work, that was my quiet time. I had an individual at the last church. She called me up, and she was telling me how she couldn't believe that somebody could pray during it while they were driving. I said, well, Pam, hey, that's how I started. I'm sorry. Start. Start somewhere. Enter that arena. So that's the where and the when. The third thing, the third all of prayer is the manner of prayer. To that end, keep alert. Be watchful. Be watchful. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You know, prayer heightens our awareness of the world and what's going on. When we pray, when we align our hearts, when we offer specifics of what we would like to have happen, and when we are united with God's heart, it will be those specifics that will bring joy to God. And we can't stop. We can't stop. Jesus stated it this way when he penned in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He said this, if I can find it. He says, people ought to pray always and not lose heart. Don't stop. Don't stop when it doesn't seem like God's answering anything. Don't stop when you get tired. Don't stop I can tell you there have been years I've been praying for individuals. And then you begin to see, because God is at work even when we think he's not working. And don't stop. With all perseverance. And then the last all is this. It's the indirect object of prayer. Making supplication for all the saints. Now, saints is a believer. In the New Testament, hagioi means the holy ones. And you know, if you are in Christ, you are a holy one. God made you holy in Jesus. And the saints in this context are all the believers. Making specific requests for all the believers in Jesus Christ. The indirect objects. You see, what I want to share with you this morning, as the missionaries told the monks, forget everything we taught you. You see, if you're here today and you find that your prayer life is selfishly centered, I'm going to tell you, forget everything that you've been practicing. Because nowhere in this, and you can even go on to verse 19, 20, and all the way through 24. Now, this is a guy, the Apostle Paul, who's chained to a Roman soldier, probably chained to the wall. And nowhere does he say, hey, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You know what he says? Pray that I may speak the gospel of Christ with all boldness and confidence. If your prayer life consists of selfishness, forget everything you've ever known. If it consists of adoration of God and praying with all perseverance, being watchful, and you are communing with God at many different times in the day, and you are praying for others before you pray for yourself, keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. But pray. Pray. And when you do, you will enter the arena where God will be magnified. You will have a joy, a purpose, a focus, a confidence, and you will be connected with the expansion of the kingdom of God. And so, friends, this morning, if you need to forget things that you've been doing, forget them. But take the four alls of prayer. Pray at all times. Pray with prayer and specific requests. Be watchful and be persevering in your prayer. And make those specific requests for others. Now let me be clear. It's okay to request prayer for yourself. I'm not saying it's not. But what I am saying is if that is the rule of thumb of your prayer time, maybe you better reevaluate. Can we pray? Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you for the challenge here this morning. Heavenly Jesus, we thank you for all that you blessed us with and all that you gave to us. We thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. Oh, Lord, meet us, grow us. Jesus, you didn't teach your disciples how to preach, but you taught them how to pray. And so, Father, may we join with one another and pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. If you would, just please join with me as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing head, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I
As we close here this morning, may the God of all peace, may he bless you and keep you. May he find you faithful and obedient in praying to him in specifics with all perseverance. And may the joy, the peace, and the love that comes from him flood and fill your heart. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, go and depart in peace. Amen.